the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I'm at a point in my life as a pastor where I've had a lot of responses to sermons, but I can't say I've been driven to the edge of a cliff yet. You know, the response to Jesus' sermon in Nazareth is over the top, right? Like, aren't you supposed to shake the pastor's hand and say, "Good job," or like, or say nothing and just think something, or like send an email days later? Like, right, what are all of the, you know, ways that we respond? I don't understand when I first read this text how they can be so upset. And how they can move from being amazed at the gracious words that Jesus has said to being so filled with rage that they are ready to kill him. So let's start there. Why? What happens in these people? Well, one thing might be, this interesting idea of familiarity, their relationship to Jesus, right? This is his hometown. They've seen him grow up. They move with this comment of like, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Which you wonder, is that like still awe and amazement? Like, wow, this is Joseph's son who's saying all of this? Or is it maybe starting to become a little bit cynical? Like, "This is Joseph's kid. Are you kidding me? We know him." So is it their familiarity, their relationship to Jesus that brings these strong emotions from both sides, both ends of a spectrum? Or perhaps it's that these folks in Nazareth, so amazed at the person of Jesus, and so filled with expectations of a Messiah who will save them, and oh boy, he's coming from their own hometown, that they've decided that they're a little bit extra special. He's going to do all this great stuff, and he's already been doing great stuff all these other places. What? How much better is it going to be here in his hometown? Surely for us, he's going to bring the goods. It's going to be a whole another notch up. Because Jesus has said to them in last week's gospel, right? He's read from the prophet Isaiah about bringing release to captives. And he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. We're going to get what we have expected. And how much better for us who are here among Jesus in our hometown. Certainly we'll get a little bit better or a little bit more, or it'll come for us first."
But as Jesus continues, he points out times when, in fact, in the midst of everything, God has sent people to the people that we think shouldn't get stuff first. People who we said are outside of the promise, outside of the realm of God's plan and mission for the world. Jesus points out that, yeah, there were widows around in the time of Elijah in the realm of Israel, and yet Elijah was sent outside of Israel to that widow too. Now, I think what the people don't hear, because they get filled with rage thinking it's going to go to somebody else and not be here the way we think it should, we're not going to get more, we're not going to get... They immediately jump to, well, nothing's for us anymore. They have raised up their defenses, as we are so good at doing, friends, when we hear something that we don't like, that pushes our buttons, that makes us uncomfortable or upset. Their walls have been so raised that they forgot the first part of what Jesus said, that this is fulfilled for them in their hearing. Jesus says, also for them, and maybe in some cases for them first. For those ones that you think aren't as deserving, for the ones that aren't from my own hometown, God's love and salvation and release for the captives is for them too. See, maybe it's this only people like us mentality that, when it is challenged, fills them with so much rage. Think whether it's familiarity, or an us-first mentality, or an only the people that are like us and are in the in-group mentality. Whether it's any of those, I think the deep truth is that the people's grasp of God's mission is too small and too narrow. Their grasp and understanding of what God is up to in the world is too small and too narrow when Jesus starts to widen the vision for them. We finish our gospel readings and say, this is the gospel of the Lord. This is the good news of the Lord. Yet for these people in Nazareth, they certainly heard it as bad news, it would seem. Or this kind of mixed news, right? Good news first, and then a little bit more happens, and Jesus explains a little bit, and I, maybe not good news. In fact, upsetting news. Because the truth of the matter is that the gospel is sometimes hard to take. The gospel upsets our expectations. When we get settled into a narrow view of what God is up to in the world, and the good news of God reminds us that God's mission is far more vast than we think it is, that we might have to go somewhere we don't want to go, that God's love is for the people that we don't like, it's upsetting. It provokes us. The gospel cuts to the core of who we are and how we think. Look at the way Jesus interacts with people, and he always seems to ask the question to them that they could not even articulate themselves yet. It gets underneath their surface level concerns, and has to do with who they really are, with how God sees them and the world, and with what God is doing and calling them to do and to be in the world. And sometimes that can raise our defenses. In fact, sometimes for people in Nazareth, it can fill us with such rage that we'd rather throw it off a cliff than hear it. And yet, as we hear, as we see practiced in our gospel text, right, Jesus walks away through their midst.
And man, it would be really hard for me if you all ran me off to the cliff over here and tried to throw me off after a sermon, and I got out. Why? I'm probably not preaching that again. But not Jesus. The gospel must be proclaimed. His mission must be fulfilled no matter the resistance and the rejection that comes his way. Jesus continues his proclamation of and his living out of God's good news for you and for the whole world. For the people we think are in and those we think are out. Like the prophet Jeremiah, the word of God has got to get out. It must be proclaimed, even when it's expected to be met with rage. There's also this interesting thing when I think about my own journey of life, faith, all of it. I found that sometimes my points of greatest anger and defensiveness and frustration, when I am filled with rage, when I am upset by what's coming at me, those often precede moments of greatest transformation. If I am able, when I feel that raising up in me, right? Like maybe it's my face and my ears getting red. Perhaps it's this feeling of almost like heartburn within you, an anxiety, a tension. In those moments, if I can say, maybe you're right. Say, maybe I don't know it all. And sometimes it takes walking away well before this exchange can happen, right? But if we, in those points of defensiveness, when we have immediate pushback, when we are made uncomfortable, when our core convictions are challenged, if we can find space and breath to recognize God's Spirit working in and through us in those moments, I think they often come just before, right? Right on the other side of those moments is a moment of transformation. When the heat gets turned up and you cannot stand it, and think you cannot continue in what you're doing, it's that one step further that God takes us, that the Holy Spirit pushes and drags us, like it does with Jesus after his baptism, into the wilderness, back into the people. It's in those moments when we experience our greatest points of transformation. It's in struggling with the gospel when it is hard to hear that we grow deeper in relationship with God and with one another. And then maybe we can get to the point of singing "I Love to Tell the Story." Because friends, I think Jesus might have had a hard time saying "I love to tell the story" when they're ready to throw him off the cliff. Really? Maybe the familiarity, right? I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Well, do they really know it the best? And even for the ones who know it best, those are the ones that are out to get him. They knew the prophet Isaiah when he read it. Also, who are we assuming knows the story best? Is it the person who comes to church every Sunday, or is it the person who's lived death and resurrection? Who's experienced the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Right? Both. But who are we assuming knows it best? And I think this love for telling the story is really, truly part of what can carry you through the moments when you know telling the story is going to be met with rejection. And so throughout Lent, we'll invite you into a study
that we can better learn and know God's story in scriptures and in our own lives, so that we might tell it with confidence and boldly, even when it may be met with rejection and resistance, so that we can hear it again, so that we can love to hear it and tell it and sing it. Because it is the good news of God for you and for the world. And it must be shared. It is a fire that wells up inside that will light the world up if we but speak it and live it. Thanks be to God.